Here we are Wednesday on the Audible practice field right behind us. Unfortunately, they're practicing in the bubble today, so we won't get to see the guys out there practicing as they get ready for their next game against the Carolina Panthers on Monday night. It's a special Wednesday for us because, not because I'm here, I'm Kim Bocamper, because number 56, John Offerdahl, is here with us. John Offerdahl, pleasure to have you, my man. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Always a pleasure just to see you, much less be on the show.
These days, absolutely. Good to see you, Kim. You know, I love being on your show, and as a fellow linebacker, we can butt some heads today.
There you go. There you go. It's funny, you know, we're very fortunate, I think, down here as members of the Miami Dolphins or former members, players for the Miami Dolphins, that a lot of guys stay down here. So you get to see guys a lot, and a lot of the guys we played with, a lot of the guys – you become friends with guys that you didn't play with just through the Alumni Association, all those types of things. So it really has created great camaraderie, but everyone's going in different directions.
They definitely
go in different directions. You know, you see a guy, you may not see him for, you know, another 8 months or something, and then you hook up. But
South Florida's got so many distractions and so many opportunities to do things. But there is a common denominator, a common thing that binds us all, and that's being a Miami Dolphin.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey, John, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here. First of all, let's kind of get your thoughts on this season. This has been a bizarre, as bizarre season as I've been around, either as a player or a broadcaster or just as a fan of the Miami Dolphins. From the hurricane to a linebacker not showing up on week one, to coaches, to, you know, getting ready your running back a week ago, to everything, and a hurricane in between, and everything that's gone on. It's been a pretty crazy year for this football team. They find themselves at 4-4, and part of it, you look at it and go, man, it's amazing these guys can be 4-4.
Right.
But there was opportunities for this team to win, especially on Monday or on last Sunday night, where there was an opportunity to win that football game that they kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit with some penalties. But when you look at this football team over the last 8 weeks or during the last eight games, what are you feeling about these guys?
All right, so – 4-4 is not a terrible spot to be in because you're a legitimate playoff contention. I think the record obviously gives us some hope.
Yep.
Their play has been back and forth, though, and it's way too inconsistent.
Yep.
And it's been enjoyable from my side because I look for the extremes of life.
Yeah, sure.
The blasé middle gets kind of old after a while. So they've definitely had their extremes with injuries, too. They've had to piece some things together, but for the most part, just bizarre things.
Yeah.
And it's happened before for the Miami Dolphins, too, but this one seems weird because they're actually at a stage where they can still fight and play for the playoff position, and you're just hoping that they – you know, last week was, I thought, a good game.
Yes.
So you're hoping that the consistency of at least the play on the field is not what the 40-0 score was, but more like this week that we just saw. And then – win or loss, but hopefully win, we at least can build in the faith of our future.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, John, you look around the National Football League and watch games, and I usually see one game a week. I see the Dolphin game because I'm always with them. But every now and then I'll catch a little of maybe a Sunday night game or a little bit of a Thursday night game or one of these. And the league has become, you know, the difference between winning and losing has become so razor thin in this league. And I think Sunday night's game with the Dolphins was kind of an evidence of that. When you look at that game, and the Dolphins were in a lot of those games last year, but they ended up winning those games. They made the plays to win games. So it's, you know, one play here, one play there, really makes a difference in a lot of games across the board in the National Football League. Because I think the majority of games are determined by 3 points or less, which, you know, leaves you the last drive, last defensive stop, or whatever.
Makes
more,
it more fun
times
to watch.
It makes it great. Yeah. More times than not, know, determines the outcome.
If you think the Dolphins had some wins this year that were come from behind, enormous come from behind for victory, too. So they've been on the right side of their four victories a lot of times. Last week was a little disappointing because I thought Cutler and the offense actually played for the first time a consistent game, and we just didn't pull it out. But, you know, I kind of look at the eras, the decades of football, and, you know, when I played, oh, gosh, we struggled. I understand that. We were never a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
But you knew the good teams were going to win and the bad teams were probably not going to win for a while.
Right.
These days, you really think the bad teams going into the year are going to be bad. that's not the case. They can change so quickly.
You know, you look at the Buffalo Bills. No one gave the Bills much of a chance getting in. The Jets, no one gave them a chance. Right. They're playing very competitive football. And on the flip side, everyone thought the Giants were going to be a playoff contender, and they've won one football game. Right. So you really don't know season to season, you don't know week to week. And I was going to ask you about that. Overall look at the National Football League and the way, especially on the defensive side of the football, which I think has become so punitive to be a defensive player in this league. Yeah. They just you can't breathe on a guy. You can't. Yeah. The rule changes offensively have made it so difficult to play defense in the National Football League the way that we kind of understand what defense was about. It's a whole different ball game now.
We were taught to intimidate the other team. And how do you intimidate them? You intimidate them when a receiver comes across your path and they catch a ball to lay them out.
Right.
You know, we wouldn't spear.
Right.
That was taken out earlier in the 70s. But certainly we would tackle as viciously as we could to an unsuspecting wide receiver if he was in your lane.
Yep.
And the next time he came across the field, you would hope he would be thinking about you.
Yep.
There's not even the thought about that for the most part because players can't hit with the full thrust on a player who's not prepared for the hit. It is way too hard for me to calculate in my mind when that moment comes.
Well,
like Kiko.
Kiko,
Kiko. Kiko. Yeah. Kiko, I was looking at that, and I said I was really struggling with that because I would have never been able to release myself from the forward momentum and the aggression that I had in that moment.
Well, that's the thing I don't understand. And I think that's the thing they lose with defensive players under those circumstances, especially when he's encroaching the first down marker. And you're going, look, I got to hit this guy somehow, some way, and he's halfway down. And once you commit, well, I don't want to say launch because launch has become a bad term, but once you commit, if that guy's head is here, and by the time you hit him, his head is down here, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. I mean, it's, you know, you can't change your angle of attack at that moment. And I think that's what makes it very, very difficult. It makes it difficult on the players.
Yeah.
It makes it difficult on the player that gets hit. It makes it difficult on the officials to make a call. Yeah. Those guys sit up there for minutes and minutes looking at every different angle. And they still can't figure it out.
You know, and those sideline plays where the quarterback's running up the sideline and then you don't really know
when he's going to step out or not.
Yeah. And he's right by the first down. I mean, it frustrates me as a fellow linebacker that, you know, kind of like I don't think I could play this game because I don't – what made me effective was I couldn't turn on and off that. It was always on the field.
It's a different game. I'll tell you the one thing that when I look at it, the one thing I think it does allow to see the real athletic ability of these players because they're not running down like they're not ducking a guy. They can just, hey, I can go out there and – I can lay out and make a catch and know I'm not going to get speared in the kidneys or something.
You're talking like an offensive coach.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Come on.
All right. We got some questions here. We're going to get to your questions here in a little bit. But first, I got to talk about your 7th annual Gridiron Grill-Off. It's at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater. And, John, you started this thing. This is your 8th year that you're working on it. Maybe 9th. Yeah. Maybe you started 2 years before your first one because it's a chore. It's become a fire-breathing beast, no doubt about it. Literally a fire-breathing beast.
It's a whole year of preparation for a one-day event.
What got you started with it?
Yeah.
And what was the point? I understand it to raise money and stuff, but I know you were changing your restaurant to more of a grill kind of a whole healthy food type of a situation, and so that's all part of it. But kind of take us through the whole impetus behind this.
Well. About 10 years ago, I was going through one of my many midlife crises. Yeah. And
I've been through 6 so far.
Oh, gosh.
I had one yesterday, by the way.
They're more frequent these days, aren't they?
Exactly.
You know, it involved my son. He was feeding people, and I was scratching my head and just pretty impressed with his efforts and kind of found out, you know, he was doing more to help the community than I was.
Right.
And it kind of motivated me to kind of leverage the experiences of my life, which, as you know, football was a huge impression on me. and then also in the food business. You were both in the food business. Yeah. I got to know the food industry and appreciate in South Florida. It's, you know, as you know, one of the biggest industries in South Florida. So it just became very clear for me to do something for the community that leveraged both football and food. So from gridiron, from football to food, gridiron to grill, we put together the Gridiron Grill Off. Yeah. Really, it's kind of like a collision of football and food on the grill. And that was an effort that we just threw together one fall. And we said, oh, my gosh, there's something here.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it, people connect to the grill.
Yeah.
They do either fine dining, which is really our Gridiron Grill Off, is fine dining chefs paired up with celebrity athletes and dolphin legends. But then they also congregate around the backyard barbecue and, of course, the game day tailgate.
Yeah.
So of those three worlds, I mean, you tell me who doesn't connect to those worlds on the grill. So just a matter of sports and food coming together on the grill just has made a very important, impactful signature event that, and then when you leverage it for the community and our foundation, my wife and I put together a foundation 8 years ago called the Offerall's Handoff Foundation, really hands off the resources that we can generate to the community, both in foster care, family homelessness, and supportive housing for those who are less fortunate.
Yeah, and it's a great event. I mean, you get some of the best chefs in South Florida, and you get the players that team up with them, and thank God the players don't get involved in the cooking too much. Maybe they'll flip something over now and then.
Duper.
Keep
he always
Duper
thinks he's a cook.
Duper wants to be his own chef. He wants to come in as a player chef and do his deal there.
Yeah, the chefs don't like him. He's always in the kitchen, man.
But it's a great day. It's you know, and you've brought wine into the picture. There's wine pairings and all the things that go on. So if anyone out there that lives in the South Florida area, look, you still got time. If you live somewhere else, you want to fly into town and come and check it out. It really is really one of the premier events in South Florida in the food industry.
You know, Kim, if the South Beach Food and Wine Festival, put on by
Food Network?
Or the Food Network, right, can do that, why can't we put together athletes and chefs on the grill? So I really believe that this has the ability to connect to people, connect to the ESPNs of the world. And if you think about it, we have competition. So our event is we're celebrity.
Yep.
Competition and charity collide.
Yep. Yep.
So our competition is every fan gets to vote on the appetizer portion that the celebrity team puts together. And of course, they get to vote, and there's a leaderboard that shows the fan favorite. All of the celebrity teams get to present their recipe before a panel of judges. Yep. So there's a professional judges championship. And then all of the athletes get to compete in cornhole and get to pair up with a fan who made a leaderboard during the event so that there's a cornhole champion.
Yeah. And fan gets the fan involvement also.
And the fans play to make the leaderboard.
You hit just about every base on the event.
Yeah, so I mean, the event is really a competitive event that involves football and food on the grill.
And it's come to kind of a family out there. The guys that go, the events, the chefs, the people that show up. And even within, you know, there's a great story that you have with a story. Started last year with Mercury Morris. You know, our good friend and one of the all-time great Miami Dolphins, Jim Kick, is struggling a little bit right now. And you know, he can't drive, has to have people drive him around. And beginning of last year, Mercury Morris would go pick him up, brings him to the event. They work as in tandem in their booth with their chef. And it shows you the you know, they're teammates, they're friends, they're brothers, and one taking care of another, I think really is a special aspect of what you've got going on there.
Because if you think about what's going on today, and then you look at the teamwork, camaraderie, and commitment of two players who, quite honestly, in 72,
they weren't
the best of friends because they were vying for playtime.
Yeah, exactly.
And to recognize that camaraderie travels decades. To the point where Mercury Morris is now, you know, and Jim getting together and helping each other out, that's pretty impressive.
And Merck really has become a big advocate for all these, you know, head injuries, the results of that. He's become a big advocate for players and obviously a big advocate for Jimmy Kick. So it's great to see. Hey, you mind if we get some of these questions on here? People have been calling, sending in. So, first one, hey, Bo, what's the difference in last year when we were 4-4 and this year when we were 4-4? Well, the Dolphins have lost two games to get to 4-4. And last year they won three games to get to 4-4. They're in the middle of a six-game winning streak when they got to 4-4, and by the time they were done, they were 7-4, and that vaulted them into the postseason where they won three more football games. This time they're on the downside of it, and they need to find a way to turn it around. And John talked about the game this week, Monday night up in Carolina, Carolina Panthers on national TV, third week in a row for this football team. It's not going to be an easy task going up there and going against that football team.
It won't be. It definitely won't. And I think to answer the question, you know, we have to have that turnaround now.
Yep.
Last year we had it a couple weeks ago, and we went into a pretty long winning streak and a stellar record after those first one. I think we were 1-3 to begin with
exactly.
Last year. So this year, I mean, I'm a big believer that great things happen all the time. And we just got to get mentally and motivationally aligned. Momentum matters a lot in football, and I think Coach Gase is he's I like it that he's making tough decisions.
Yep.
I personally don't shy away from that, and I'm glad he's doing it. But it certainly, you know, is change, and change is not always healthy when you're looking to create a momentum string. So hopefully they'll get on to something now and we can watch
it. Well, I think the good thing, John, and you touched on a little bit earlier, they played well enough on Sunday night to win that football game. Had they not, you know, take some of those penalties off the board and give some of those first downs that they picked up that got called back, you know, they end up losing. They were down by, well, lost by 3 points. I mean, you know, you know, a couple things go their way in there. Yeah. But they played much better football,
more
consistently better football than we've seen. And hopefully that's a springboard into this game on Monday night. And this game, if they can win this game, that would be a huge momentum lift for them with Tampa Bay coming to town down here in South Florida the next week for a 1 o'clock game, which is always nice down here, 1 o'clock, and get a little heat going on in there.
Tampa's probably a little used to it.
They're a little used to it,
kind of neutralizes
but they're struggling a little bit. Duke Dennis, hey, guys, you think Julius Thomas can build off last week, or was it a fluke? Well, Julius Thomas had a big game. I think the I think the middle of the field was available for the Dolphins last week. You saw the running backs catch a lot of passes, a lot of underneath passes, and a lot of questions about why didn't they try to go over the top deep. But, you know, they're playing a two-deep zone. The Raiders are playing a two-deep zone because they know their secondary was kind of decimated.
Yep.
And I said, look, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to work your way down the field. We're not going to let you beat us over the top. So I think that opened up the field for Julius Thomas and some of the other guys. But I'd like to see Julius Thomas. I like that like him to build off, because I think he's made some big plays. Hasn't been as consistent as we like to see, but you can say that for the whole team in general. But I'd like to see him build off of this.
Good. I'll take that answer.
All right. El Chapo, here's my – El Chapo Jr. coming in. What needs to improve in the second half of the season? I think we've both mentioned, I think, consistency. You know, I think they've got to be more consistent offensively. They can't go three quarters of shutout football and then try to come back in the fourth quarter and make a dramatic comeback. They've done it a couple times, but they can't do that for a regular diet. And if this offense can be as consistent as it was on Sunday night, then I think that gives them opportunity in the second half of the season.
Yep, and I would just say, you know, if they can just smooth things out and start focusing on their on-field performance and put some of these other things behind them, I think it's going to help. And certainly a big victory this week would be a start. That you're getting down to the point where if they lose one or two more games,
then it's tough. Well, you look at you got to figure that this year with the way the AFC is going, nine wins could get you in. They got eight games. They got to figure out how to wait if we win five games to have a shot. Hey, Logan, how's it going holding that thing down?
Oh, it's pretty great. Just, you know, a little too windy.
The wind.
A little breezy out here.
I'm holding it down here.
I'm getting ready. My hair's so bad. I'm thinking about getting ready to get a toupee. But then when I watch this thing start flying, I go, nah, maybe that's not a good idea. I'd hate to be sitting here with my hair sticking up like this, right? Yeah. No, I'm going bald. The next thing, I'm going to shave. Every time I go in there, I go, should it today the day? He goes, nah, let's give it another couple weeks. Duke Dennis, hey, Bo, I hear Deion Jordan is supposed to play Sunday. Deion Jordan was activated. He missed the first eight games. I think they're nine games of the season for them because they're in. I don't care if he – let me put it this way. He'll be activated. He may play. I don't expect him to do anything in that game. He's not high on my list of guys that I'm interested in seeing
when
play
was
football.
He
was the third pick in the draft.
When?
5 years ago.
Wow,
about 5 years ago.
That's amazing.
And he's played – I think he's played what?
Maybe, I wouldn't mind just seeing him play.
I think he's played maybe four or five games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that he wants to play. I think you know what? I'm not gonna say what I was gonna say because it wouldn't be right. But I think Deion likes to make money. I'm not so sure he wants to play so bad.
Play for the money.
Yes, exactly. Anthony Shake Felicio out of Facebook. Bo, who do you think Shula will root for Monday? So the Dolphins are playing, but you got Mike Shula, the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. I'll tell you what I think Don Shula would say. I hope the Carolina Panthers score 35 points, and I hope they have 450 yards of offense, and the Dolphins lose and win by a point.
By a point. Right? I think Shula would probably say that. Brand above child. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think so.
Yeah, but he could be, hey, look, your offense put a lot of points on the board. You did this, the defense. It wasn't your fault, you know, but my Dolphins won.
Oh, man. Hey, now, wasn't it great to see Shula a couple weeks ago?
You know what? It's awesome to see him. He was down on the field before the game Sunday night, too. He was down there for a little while. And, you know, he had gone through had some health issues this last year, but he's been around a lot lately. And you know, it's always great to see him on the sideline. And he's always appreciative of the players he gets to see out there. And it always amazes me when he's on the sideline, the amount of players from the other side or coaches from the other side that try to make a pilgrimage over to say hello to him.
It's probably like a pilgrimage. Yeah. Most of those players are you know, so young, they never really probably saw him coach, but they just respect.
But certainly the coaches, coaches, I've seen coaches sprint over to go say hello to him. So it's always great to see him out there. Where do you see us this season, standings wise? Well, like we just talked about, you got 8 games left to play, and if this team's going to get to the playoffs, they've got to at least go 5-3. And I think that's in. You know, I don't care. I always said, you know, people go, wow, the schedule. To me, the schedule's fluid. And fluid, and the best example I could give is the Green Bay Packers. You know, they're running along with Aaron Rodgers, and it looked like they're going to be able to go to the playoffs again and maybe challenge. Aaron Rodgers goes down, and now everyone's putting a win on their next to their schedule.
You're fluid, meaning it changes.
One guy gets hurt. Yeah. You know, you look at Tampa coming to town next week, and Jameis Winston's out for 3 weeks. So it's not the same. It's
team.
A different team. It's just a completely different team. And, you know, the Dolphins are a different team. They got T.J. McDonald coming back. They got Ted Larson coming back. So they're a different team than they were last week. So does coach need to implement some consequences for excessive penalties? You know, I've had the other day on Monday we did the show, I had a lot of guys, well, what do you do to alleviate penalties? And I think you got to make them punitive. I think you've got to make – You're on the practice field with Don Shula. If you committed a penalty in the practice field, you heard about it on the practice field in no uncertain terms. Right.
He was consistently the least penalized coach when he played for him.
It's so much so that when you committed a penalty on the field on a game day where it either, you know, gave the other team a first down or took away a first down away from you, the last thing you wanted to do was walk over to the sideline.
The other sideline.
You want to go to the other sideline. You don't want to come over to Shula's side. So look, I don't know that this day and age you can do that. I don't know that this day and age with free agency that you can you can be that that tough as the coaches used to be.
Yeah.
And look, I don't say that. I'm not taking a shot at the NFL now or the coaches now because look, they were tougher 10 years before I got in the league, and they were tougher 10 years before those guys got in the league. Yeah. So it's been a progression, and it's just the nature of the beast changing a little bit. So. I think you just got to point him out. They got officials out here every day, and maybe when you point him out, you got to let a guy know that hey, look, no, we're not just telling you, we're demanding,
right?
You need to stop.
There's always time on the field that can affect that.
Lights went out, so I think we're about to wrap it up here on the program. Hey, Johnny,
the lights,
Johnny. For anyone that's interested in coming down here, or is going to be in the Miami area, or Fort Lauderdale area, or South Florida area. Over the weekend, anybody that might be flying in or people that are down here, it's the 7th annual Gridiron Grill Off at Pompano Beach Amphitheater. How do they go about? How do they go about getting tickets or find a way to get in? Or
so tickets and info is at gridirongrilloff.com. Okay. Pretty simple, gridirongrilloff.com. And again, Saturday is the Food and Wine Festival. Starts at 12. Pompano Beach Amphitheater goes till 5, and then Sunday we got a.
Oh, you got a two-day. You got a two-day event going on now.
Oh,
you got a concert.
Sammy Hagar.
I like Sammy Hagar. Yeah. He used to play. He was with Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our good friend Bobby Monica just posted a picture on Facebook today of and I was at the concert. Bob Baumhauer on the stage with Sammy Hagar singing "Jump" with Van Halen. I'll give you a quick story. I'll give you a good story about before we go. I'm gonna give you a quick story about
that, didn't he?
So Bob is on the plane coming down here to South Florida from Alabama, and Van Halen is on the plane sitting with him. Sitting, and so he starts talking to him. They go, "Hey, we're doing a concert in Hollywood. Why don't you bring some of your guys and go to the concert?" So he brings a bunch of us. We go to the concert, and we're backstage with them and talking to him before the concert and everything. And Don Johnson from Miami Vice. Yeah. Miami Vice was big at the time. He was there, and he was trying to become a singer, right? So we're all on stage. Now we're on the side of the stage, and they're singing, and they're getting ready to do their big song, Jump, right?
Yeah.
And so Sammy Hagar points over and goes, "Come here.
To Bob. You know,
come here."
Yeah.
And Don Johnson pushes through and starts going up there, and the security guy goes, no, not you. Pushes him back, says him, sends Bob out to sing. And Don Johnson was so pissed, he just turned around and left, went home, said, "I'm done with it."
I think that story goes on to say that Shula found out that Bob Baumhauer was on stage and got mad at him for singing and dancing while he's
"What are you doing out there with those freaks dancing?" It was probably one of a comment like that. But anyway, that was a good one. Okay, so you got the concert, Sammy Hagar, on Sunday.
Yep.
You got the grill off for the Wine and Food Festival on Saturday. And you go to gridirongrilloff.com to find out anything you want to find out about the event. Look, I think even if you want to send some money for the charity, I think you can go ahead.
You can go online and do it. But I'd much rather have you there.
It's
an all-inclusive ticket. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
Again, Dolphin legends, the best of them. Larry Little, Dwight Stevenson, Nat Moore, Twan
Hall
Russell,
of famers
all
of
the guys. Yep, all the guys, and they're paired up with top chefs in South Florida. So a lot of celebrity.
Johnny O.
A lot of competition.
Always a pleasure, my man.
A lot of charity. Thanks,
John Offerdahl, great to have him with us here on this Wednesday. We'll have him here next year, the week before the Gridiron Grill Off.
You think
we
can get
we can get you before that one time?
I'll bring some food next year. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. That's going to do it for us on Wednesday. We'll be back on Friday, I think at a regular time on Friday, 6 o'clock. Are we going to do a high school football game again? No, but we're going to be on 6 o'clock from here. All right, that's going to do it for the Audible today. 4 o'clock on Friday. Leon, you didn't screw up.
It's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock on Friday. We'll be back. That's going to do it for the program. We'll see you then.